look at somebody and say, we're better together. Would you sit to somebody? Just say, we're better together. We're better together. And one of the keys about the United States of America, we were built upon certain principles and certain values. What do you think one of the core values? Let me ask you this. What's a core value of America? Let's see. What do you say? Did I say football? Not football. What's a core value of America? Freedom. What else? Anything else? Fresh start. Well, let me tell you one of the core values that works as a nation, but does not work as an individual. Works as a nation, but it will not work as an individual. And that is independence. Everybody say independence. In fact, we have a piece of paper, and we have a declaration that we call the Declaration of what? Independence, which works great as a country, but as an individual, I'm afraid too many people have a declaration of independence as a person. And we value being independent. In fact, we work, we earn money to the day that we can be financially what? Tell our parents. You know, I tell all the teenagers, listen, move out now while you know everything. Just go on out right now before you know, because you're going to learn something one day when you have to earn your own money and you have to put the tires on those cars. You don't spin them like you used to spin them. Go on, somebody, everybody say amen. You learn that what you pay for, you know, on and on. So one of the keys, though, is we live in a society that we try to be independent. And you learn this. The truth is, independence will never result in happiness. Being disconnected produces really unhappiness and emptiness. One of my favorite stories, we're going to read it together, is the bricklayer story. And I want to say it for those of you maybe visiting and haven't maybe not heard it before. Let's just read. This is the story of a bricklayer who responds to a question because he's had been in an accident. And he responds to the insurance company after he fills it out and turns it in. They want a further explanation of one of the points that he fills something out on the insurance claim. And here's what he said. Dear sir, I'm writing in response to your request for additional information for my insurance claim. In block number 3 of the accident claim form, I wrote, trying to do the job what? Trying to do the job what? Alone. As the cause of my accident. You said in your letter that I should explain that statement more fully, and I trust the following details will be sufficient. I'm a bricklayer by trade. On the date of the accident, I was working alone on the roof of a new 6-story building. When I completed my work, I discovered that I had about 500 pounds of brick left over. Rather than carrying the bricks down by hand, one by one, I decided to lower them in a barrel by using a pulley which was attached to the side of the building at the 6th floor level. Securing the rope at ground level, I went up to the roof, swung the barrel out, loaded the bricks into it. Then I went back to the ground and untied the rope, holding it tightly to ensure a slow descent of the 500 pounds of bricks. You will note in block number 22 of the claim form that my weight is 150 pounds. Due to my surprise at being jerked off the ground so suddenly, I lost my presence of mind and forgot to let go of the rope. Needless to say, I proceeded up the side of the building at a very rapid rate of speed. In the vicinity of the 3rd floor, I met the barrel coming down. This explains my fractured skull and collarbone. Slowed only slightly, I continued my rapid ascent, not stopping, until my fingers of my right hand were 2 knuckles deep into the pulley. By this time, I'd regained my presence of mind and was able to hold tightly to the rope in spite of my pain. At approximately the same time, however, the barrel of bricks hit the ground and the bottom fell out of the barrel. Devoid of the weight of the bricks, the barrel then weighed approximately 50 pounds. I refer you again to really block number 22 regarding my weight. I weigh 150 pounds. As you might imagine, I began a rapid descent down the side of the building. In the vicinity of the 3rd floor, I met the barrel coming up. This accounts for my 2 fractured ankles and the lacerations of my legs and lower body. The second encounter with the barrel slowed me enough to lessen my injuries when I fell onto the pile of bricks. And fortunately, only 3 vertebrae were cracked. I'm sorry to report, however, that as I lay there on the bricks in pain, unable to stand, and watching the empty barrel 6 stories above me, I again lost my presence of mind, let go of the rope. The empty barrel weighed more than the rope, so it came down upon me and broke both of my legs. I hope I've furnished information sufficient to explain why trying to do the job what? Alone was the stated cause of the accident. And so many people could say that because of the things they've gotten into and the accidents of their life is because they've tried to live life. Everybody say alone, would you? Happiness does not come from being independent, but it comes from a very powerful word that we call community. Everybody say community. You know the coffee and all that, but we talk community. Community, the word community literally means being interdependent, not independent, but interdependent, I-N-T-E-R dependent. And Romans 12, that's going to be our text, and I want you to remember that because at the end, we're going to have a song by, how many remember Marty Goetz? You remember Marty Goetz? Okay, we have, I'm going to show you, we're going to do something. He sings this song with his family, and we'll get that. Since we are all one body in Christ, everybody stand up. Let's all stand up and give you one more chance to stretch a little bit while we do this. I know this helps you keep awake for the rest of it. Since we are all one body in Christ, let's all read it together. Since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other, and each of us needs all the... Look at somebody and say, you need me. Would you say, you need me? And then say, we're better together, would you? All right, let's bow our heads and pray. Father, today we want to be taught the Word of God, and we want truth to set us free, that we can know it beyond mental capacities, but we know it in our hearts. Would you speak to us that we can receive it? Father, open our ears that we can hear, eyes that we can see, that we might forever be faithful to you and run the race until the end. In Jesus' name. Everybody said a good amen. Let's give you one more good clap offering day. Would you do that? Come on. All right, you can be seated today. Listen, community is God's answer to many, many, many of the situations of your life. And there is a need for you to have six different relationships in your life. And now let's go through them. We'll do them pretty quickly. And then we'll go home. Listen, there are six relationships that we all need in our life. Number one is, you can write this on your little paper, I need people who will walk with me. I need people who will walk with me. You know, the very best part of the ministry of Jesus was not his public ministry. The best part of his ministry was the time that he spent with the 12 disciples. If you read it very carefully, many, many times he would be speaking to a group of people, then he could send them away, and he and his 12 disciples would go and he would communicate to them. Many times, back to the Mount of Beatitudes, he said he called his disciples up to him, not the whole crowd, just his disciples up, and told them all this and that. And one of the keys is, he loved it. He didn't listen. The Greek model of discipling is to meet in a classroom and do a teaching. That's a Greek model of discipling. And that's how they taught. They taught in a classroom setting. Come back next week, we'll do a classroom setting. But Jesus didn't pick the 12 and say, now, I want you to meet you once a week. We're going to meet right here on the side of the Mount of Beatitudes, and we'll have another lesson next week. See you again next week. They didn't do that. When he called the 12 disciples, he wasn't calling them to once a week meeting. He was calling them to, let's live life together. Let's eat together and walk together and live, sleep together and go to weddings together, go to funerals together. And they did everything together. And so what he was doing was his life, when he called them, the Hebrew modeling is mentoring. It's when you get everybody together and you live life together. And one of the things we need in life is we don't need all, if all your Christianity consists of is a once a week church meeting, then you don't understand what it means. Nobody's really walking with you through this life. Community is where we get together. We get each other's life. God never intended for you to live alone. In fact, one of the first things he said in Genesis, he said it's not good that man would be alone. And that's not only talking about marriage, it's talking about community. You know, when we let our kids go out sometimes, we tell them, now don't you go alone. I don't want you to go alone. I want you to have somebody. Don't you go alone. Why do we say that? Well, number one is it's safer to go in a group. Once you go in a group, go in a group. You know, I want you with somebody. One time we took our family. We were going to somewhere. And we went to Singapore. And we flew from there, we flew into China, and we're going to go from there. We just transit out in China to Mongolia. And we were heading toward Siberia. That's where we're heading toward Siberia. And we got into China, and we had a big Singaporean group. And when we got there, you had to break up because the Singaporeans, and they had one main place for Americans. For some reason, they said Americans, all Americans this way. So we went through there, and the Singaporeans, all that group went that way. And when we got through there, next thing we know, these officials came over to us. I had my wife and my kids with me and a few other of my nephews. And these officials came to us. Let us come this way. And let us through. And then I'm noticing that we're going through customs. I mean, we're just transit. We're just going to catch another flight to Mongolia. We're not going into China. He takes us through customs, brings us to a back room, and tells us, you are now under arrest. And I said, why? You are in our country without permission, without a visa. I said, what? And so they took our passports from us. You imagine I got my kids there. He comes back in. It's a ploy for money. He's demanding this huge amount of money from us. Da, 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 da. And he comes in, threatens us about four or five times. About the fifth time he comes in, threatens us, I remember I tried the door, and the door was unlocked. So I told him, I said, here's the deal. Next time he comes and threatens us, we'll wait for about a minute, and then we're going to run out. We're going to run back through customs screaming as loud as we can scream. Is that like a good plan to me? And so when they did, he came, threatened us again. He left, and we all took off. We went out the door, back through, come screaming, and we were making a big scene in the airport. And all of a sudden, all these other, officials came. And so I told them the whole story, and you could see real quickly these officers that tried to arrest us were slinking back further and further and further. But you know what? It would have been safer had we all stuck together. Come on, somebody. And so in your life, you'll come to a place where you literally have to understand it's safer. And the other thing is supportive in a group, because, if you've ever said, I'm going to work out, man, I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to go get to the gym. Unless you get a buddy to go with you to the gym, odds are you're not going to follow through with what you're talking about. And you can make as many commitments as you want to on a Sunday and say, man, I'm going to change that in my life, I'm going to do that. But unless you've got some kind of support group, unless you've got another community that can help you and encourage you, come on, brother, don't give up, do this, do that, one more time, push it, come on, you won't follow through. And the third thing is not only that, but it's smarter. I don't know if many of you have ever about to make a dumb decision like I've done in my life, and then somebody around me said, don't do that, I did that last year, man, that's a stupid idea. And you think, that's right, I shouldn't buy that. I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't be there. So it's not only all those things, but it's smarter. And in your life, God's already put you a physical family. Some of you have got some pretty good ones. Some of you don't have some pretty good ones. But you didn't have a choice on that. But what you do have a choice on is a spiritual family. You have the right to choose a spiritual family you can be a part of. And every one of you needs a physical family, and every one of you needs a spiritual family. And it'll make a difference in your life. Hebrews 10 and 25 says, don't give up meeting together. And I told you last week, and you see, that has nothing to do with Sunday meetings. It's talking about small groups, community meetings. Don't give up living life together. Don't give up better together. Don't give up that. So it says, don't give up small group living life together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. You will have a better chance of making it to heaven if you've got a small group around you, encouraging you, speaking to you, saying, brother, during the week, living life together, where are you? What's happening? What's happening in your life? You have a better chance of making, and then if you think it's me and Jesus walking through this earth all alone. Listen, community is God's answer to loneliness. Write that down on your little papers. Community is the answer, God's answer to loneliness. 1 Corinthians 14:26. When you gather for worship, small groups is talking about, each one of you be prepared with something that may be useful for all. Sing a hymn. One of you may teach a lesson. Another tell a story. Another lead a prayer. Another provide an insight. Take your turn. No one person taking over. That way you can all learn from each other. If we tried to apply that on a Sunday, I'd start over here. All right, what's your sum? Okay, what's your sum? Then what's your tea? Okay, what's your... And we went down this list. I would be here all afternoon until supper. It's talking about the ability of a small group, of a community of a smaller group, of doing all of this, of sharing, of giving your gift out, giving what God's shown you, giving the insight God's got for you. To the verse as it does, it'll be here, it'll make a difference. The vision for having small groups is exactly this. We aren't doing small groups so we can teach you more stuff. We're not doing small groups to get you better, whatever. That may be a byproduct. That may be something you get out of it. But The vision is for you to have a community, for you to have some friends around you that's encouraging you, that's keeping you going, that checks up on you, that says, hey, come on, one more rep. Come on, do it again. And so it happens in your life when it happens. Ephesians 4 says it this way. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts to what? Grow. Let me tell you something. It'll hurt my feelings. You will not grow like you should if all you get is one Sunday a week and you come and listen to me talk. As fabulous as I am. You will not grow like you should grow because I can't give you everything you need. I cannot do it. I cannot give you everything you need. See, as each helps the other parts grow, so Christ's whole body is healthy and growing full of love. You have to understand that. Listen, you only grow as you're connected to the other parts of the body. When you get connected in fellowship, when you live life together with another group of small group of believers, you will grow like you're supposed to grow. But you will not grow like you're if all you do is come to Sunday services. It will not happen in your life. All right, I need people to walk with me. Now, number two is, I need people who will work with me. If I could tell you anything, we're going to have a whole series called The Growth Track, which is going to help you. We're going to institute that in about a month or so. But that'll help you discover your gift. If there's one truth I could get across to you, and that is, it sounds a little corny, but God has a plan for your life. Look what Ephesians 2 and 10 says. For we are God's, everybody say the next word. It's a Greek word, means his creative design. You are a specific created design that God has made. And watch this very carefully. We are God's creative design, created in Christ Jesus to come to church once a week and enjoy Pastor Terry preaching. We're God's creative design so that we can come sit in a pew and all we do in our life is warm a pew. The Bible says we were his unique creation so that we might do good. Everybody say do. Do good works. And watch this. Which God prepared in advance. Everybody say in advance. For us to do. What does that mean? What doth that mean? Let me tell you what it means. It means this. God wasn't sitting there up in heaven. And one day your mom and daddy got together and they had you. And God sat up in heaven and looked, oh, there's another baby born. I wonder what we're going to do with that baby down there. The Bible says that's not how it happened. Even if you're the product of a rape, if you're the product of maybe a marriage that they didn't want kids and suddenly they got pregnant and you... That doesn't matter to me. God is the creative. God is the designer. And here's how it worked. Before there was you, there was a to-do. I'll say it. Before there was you, there was a to-do. That means this. God had something he wanted done. God had a work. God had something in his brain. God had something in his mind. I want this accomplished. I want this to be accomplished. And then the Bible says, then he created you to do what he had done in advance. He had works, he had ministry, he had something he wanted done, and out of that he said, now let me create somebody to fulfill that. The works that in advance he had already prepared. That means this: you will never have a fulfilled life until you discover the purpose that God made you for. You will never have true happiness deep on the inside until you discover what he made you for. What did he make you? What was the idea? What did he do? What did he bring you into being? God prepared for us to do. I wonder what I can do with that. Listen, God has made you in a specific design, in a specific way, because, listen, it's about responding to what the Lord's got to do in your life. Ecclesiastes 4 and 9. Two are better than one because they have a good what? Reward for their what? Talk about one. It's better to have two of you. You've done this. You made the bed before. You know, when you're making the bed by yourself, you get up there, go around there, make all that, go all the way back, get down. I hate. I see Jasmine's in California right now. Her dad pray for Samuel. He's had a stroke and they're doing all that, but he's getting better now. But that means she's coming home on Tuesday. That means Monday is major cleanup day. Is that right? I go to the Caterpillar place. I rent a big dozer. I just come through the house one time and get it all out. But I have to wash the sheets. And I hate it with a passion to put sheets back on a bed. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. And what happens is, when two of you are doing it, it's faster than even half the time. Because you're pulling, you're doing that side, you're doing this one, you're doing that. And the worst of all the worst is putting those stupid pillows back in those pillowcases. Because I'm a monk-type personality. It's got to be perfect, and those pillows, they don't fit, and I got the wrong one on the wrong pillow, and because these are my four pillows, and this is her one pillow, da-da-da-da. And so we do all that, so you know all this shit. So one of the keys is this. You will, listen, if you go on vacation, and you go away to rest, and then you come back home, and you're more tired when you get home than when you went. See, what really will energize your life is when you do what God made you to do. Nothing will energize your life as you fulfilling why he made you. Because before you were ever born, he had a purpose, and he made you because of that. And listen, that's what I was. And when it happens, when you find it, what will happen is this. When you find it, you will say, I was created for this. This is what I was created for. The only problem is this. When you find it, he made everything in such a way that you can never fulfill it by yourself. You got to do it with a group. And you can't do it without him. That's why he brings you to places and you say, Lord, I can't do this without you. But he comes and says, you're part of a body. I created a body. I didn't create you to be a single person. I created you. The only way you will ever fulfill your calling in life is to do it with the group. Everybody say we're better together. Galatians 6 says it this way. It says, every time we get the chance, let us work the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us in the, everybody say community. So community is God's answer to fatigue. If you want to get out of fatigue, then community is God's answer to fatigue and to make you. All right, number three, I need people to walk with me, work with me. And number three, I need people who will fight for me. Not with me, I need people who will fight for me. Every one of us needs somebody to defend us. Every one of us. Every one of us needs somebody that says, hey, I got you back. I know you're having a bad day, but I got you back. I'm not going to spread any rumors about you. I got you back. I'm praying for you. I know you're bad and hard time. I got you back. And the Bible says in Philippians 2, says, each of you look not only on your own interest, but also on the interest of others. You ever gone out of town? When you go out of town, you go to your neighbors, say, hey, you mind watching my dog, watching my cat? You mind picking up the paper, you know, picking up mail? You mind doing? And we do that for with our physical stuff. How much more for our souls to have somebody help us and watch out for us? Somebody's got, you ever had anybody come and say, hey, I got your back. Don't you worry, I got your back. I'm covering you, I got your back. Ecclesiastes 4 says it this way. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. There's something about having somebody got your back. Somebody, hey, I don't have to worry about somebody sneaking up behind me and jabbing me in the back. I've got somebody watching over my back. And every one of us needs that in our lives. Who's got your back? When's the last time you told somebody, hey, don't you worry about it, I got your back? When's the last time somebody said to you, hey, don't you worry about it, I've got your back? That's what a spiritual family is for. Community is God's answer to defeat. That's how God wants it. It's the answer to defeat. And Ecclesiastes says that if one person falls, another can reach out and help. But people who are alone, when they fall, they're in real trouble. Number four, I need people who can cry with me. I don't like this one, but I'm going to say it. If you're one of those that believe no trouble ever come to your door, just live another day or two. And if you are a positive confession type person, I understand that. And it's the best way to live. But don't live in some make-believe world. Read the Bible. Paul the Apostle, the things he went through. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. So you can still believe there's going to be tribulation. Still be happy and cheerful. But when you come to that place, the only question is this. When the evil day does come to your door, are you all alone? Nobody ought to ever have to go through an operation by themselves. Nobody ought to ever have to lose their job by themselves. Nobody ought to ever have to be there when a wife or husband walks out the door by themselves. Everybody can need somebody around you. Because when you're by yourself, woe to the person by themselves. But God is there for us. 1 Peter 3 says in the Living Bible, you should be like one big family full of sympathy, each other toward the other one. That means you need somebody around you. And I always ask this, when that evil day comes, are you all alone? Do you have somebody around you who can encourage you and push you on? 1 Corinthians 12 says it this way. If one part suffers, every part suffers. So community is God's answer to despair. We can get through that. And number five is this. I need people who will partner with me. Every one of us needs something inside of us that says, I've got a few years left on this earth, and I want to make something of it. I don't want to waste it and wake up, and then all I've done was go to work and consume everything on me, and that's the end of my life. I want my life. Listen, the reason we started this church was to make a difference in this part of the world. The reason I began an academy back there was one day somebody said, you know what? My life has changed because I got saved during the academy years. Everything we do, you ought to be a part of that. And we partner together where we say, hey, we're going to do this as a group because we're better together. We're better doing it as one group rather than all separated. We're better together. Look at Deuteronomy 32 and 30. I like the way it says here. It says, one man will chase 1,000, but two will put 10,000. In God's economy, 1 + 1 never equals 2. It multiplies it. Everything begins. Listen, everybody say we're better together, would you? Community is God's answer to being significant. It's significance. That's what it is. It's literally God's answer to you can. It's something. Life means something now. And then number six, I need people who will grow with me. And many years ago, before I became, let me say what God's answer now is. Community is God's answer to potential. Community is God's answer. Listen, you will never fulfill what God made you to do by yourself. You can do it as a group. Many years ago, I got saved, and I had a dream one night. I remember I walked around a building, and I came on the other side of the building, and there was Billy Graham chopping wood in my dream. And you know, man, I'm looking there, and he's just whacking. And the log was split in two. And I remember I was sitting there, and then that day there were some other great men that I remember, and they would walk up and take the axe, and they would cut. And I remember somewhere in my brain, something came out of my inner being says, I can do that. I can do that too. I told you my story. I had a speech impediment. I didn't think I could ever speak. But something in me said, I can do that. I can do that too. But you know what I started? I didn't say, okay, I came in and said, I think I ought to be pastor of this church. That's what I'll just start off as. You know what I started doing? One of the first things I did was I joined a small group called the Power Company. And I was the guy that responded to the people that got saved. I would write the letters out. I responded. I remember somebody said, well, you're a great, good letter writer. And you got da-da-da-da. And I remember what encouragement that was in my life. And then I decided, well, I'd like to go speak. And so I started going to nursing homes. And I remember I used to have a Danny O'Day. Anybody ever had a Danny O'Day doll? You remember Danny? Oh, nobody remembers Danny O'Day. Well, it was a Danny O'Day doll, and it was like being a ventriloquist. And I went to the nursing home, and I remember the first time I went there, and I'm preaching, I'm trying to act like I'm a ventriloquist, and I remember that the best place to go is there was two old men in wheelchairs right in the front, and I remember I'm doing it. One of them says, "Eat real," and the other says, "He is real." And the other said, "He ain't real." And all of a sudden, I saw these two guys just throughout their wheelchairs coming at me. So I had to learn it. But how can you preach when people open up candy? Listen, I've preached a lot of places where it's a lot harder than this. And I remember then I went to a prison where they'd cut the TVs up as loud as they could when I was trying to speak. And on, they'd reach out the bars, try to grab you and all this stuff. And as you go along, you just, but I remember thinking this, listen, there comes a point in life when you can do it. But where you'll start is you'll start in a small group. And there has to be the training of the next generation because we're not going to live forever. They have to be ready to go and take their place. And many years ago, we've had about two or three times, a man here by the name of Marty Goetz. And Marty Goetz was a Jewish person that was saved and very musically talented and wrote. And in 1998, he went to Canada, and in Quebec, he did a concert there with a full symphony, come on, somebody. It was fantastic. One of the best I've ever heard. I've still got it. I watch it all the time still. But one of the things, he calls up his wife, Jennifer, and his 7-year-old daughter, Misha, who is in the first grade. And just watch this, and I'll talk about it. And they sing the song of our text. Come on.
To invite the woman with whom I am one, my wonderful bride, Jennifer. And we have a special treat, my little daughter, Danielle Misha. This is Misha, that's what we call her. She's very excited because she just got her hair done. And we're going to sing this song for you. If any of you happen to know this song, you can join with us and sing it. Thank you, dear. It's based on a scripture from the book of Romans, the 12th chapter, the 5th verse. After Paul the apostle speaks the wonderful mysteries of God's love for Israel and his love for all people, he commands us in these words to love one another. So we're going to sing it. Are we all set, ladies? We're also privileged because Misha's grandparents are here. Ben and Gloria Yaffe, all the way from New Jersey. Jersey, if you want to thank them. Nice guys. So here we go. Listen, if Pat Boone can go on tour with all of his daughters, I can do it too, don't you think? So here we go.
That was 16. Keep the lights down. That was 16 years ago. And you look at her. She's 7 years old. She's in first grade. And then what's her potential? What can she do in life? A lot of famous people's kids turn out very bad, and they don't really have any. But what you know what you don't know, and you're gonna laugh at this. You know what you don't know about her, little 7-year old. She's in a small group right now. 16 years ago, she gets married next month, but she gives this testimony. She said, "I started a singing group when I was in the first grade. We had a photo shoot and everything." She said, "I got them all together." She would do all that because she watched, and literally, she gives her testimony where she was in one small group after another, all the way through junior high, high school. She went to Azusa a Pacific college in California and got a part of the small groups there and the music. Always, I was musically inclined and did all that. And her potential was realized not by just traveling with her dad, but now her dad had the influence on her life. And I want to watch this now. I wanted you to see this because here's what can happen to you. You can. That's like when I saw Billy Graham chopping, I said, I can do that. Somewhere in that little seven-year-old's eyes, something inside of her said, I can do this. I can do this. And I want you to watch this because just recently, she just released her first album. And I want to watch it because here's one of the cuts off of it. And here, and I want you to see who's playing the piano and who's sitting with her and who's singing. See if this reminds you. This is 16 years later, just recently. Watch this. Clap offering, would you come on? Everybody stand up. Hey, you can do it too. You can do it. You know, but one of the things I want to encourage you to do this. We got little handouts for you in the flyer. Look at these. We got some new groups on there. Get a part of what, become a community. Don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together. Do this in a small group. Sign up for one of these small groups. We're going to be in a number of them ourselves. Sign up for one of these small groups and then be a part of it. When you finish, just lay it on the stage right here. We'll pick them up. But if I could encourage you at all, we're doing it for that one reason. So bow your heads, would you? Thank you. You listen, you can do it. God's got a design, a purpose. God's got something for you to do. But you can't do it alone. Two are better than one. You have a reward for your work. You'll be able to accomplish what the Lord has made you as a group. You'll be part of a group. God will fit you. And look up here one more time. Here's what I want you to do. Pick maybe two or three groups. And we only got 8 weeks. Pick a couple of the groups, maybe two or three, and then go and try them. And if you don't fit that one, go to the next one. We've got our leaders. They're not going to get their feelings hurt. They know you're trying it out. And then if you don't like that one, go to the other one, and you can try it. And that's how we're working. It's very free. At the end of 8 weeks, we quit. And those who want to go on will, but we're going to quit at 8 weeks. So let me really do that. And let me look up here at me one more time. Maybe you know you've never become a part of the spiritual family of God. Maybe you've never done that. Maybe you've never really been what we call born again or born from above. Maybe you've never had the Spirit of God come in your life and change you. Maybe you'd be religious and you go to church and you know about Him, but you've never really known Him. And you couldn't say, God is really, that's my family. I've got a spiritual family. The Church of the Living God, whatever denomination it is, it's my family. And if you've never experienced that in your life, listen, today the Lord calls you one more time. Won't you become part of the family? Won't you become a son or daughter of the living God? Won't you let God be your parent, God be your father, Jesus be your older brother? And you do that by, number one, just understanding and confessing, you know what, I'm a sinner. I have sinned. Everybody in here. Secondly is, Jesus came and died for sinners. And He came to call the sick. He said, those that are well don't need a physician. So if you think you're well, you don't need a doctor. If you think you're well. But when you know you're sick, Jesus said, I came to touch those that know they're sick. And if you know that you're a sinner, then you know that you, listen, the best thing is if you really admit that, I am, then what you do is I need a Savior. And He came to be a Savior. And so what God wants to do this morning is He wants to save you. He wants to save you from every way that word can be applied. He wants to save you. So bow your heads one more time. Let's pray. Everybody pray with me. And if you're here and you want the Lord moving to the spiritual family of God and you want Jesus to be your Savior, you just say this and I'm going to help you pray. Say, Dear Father, this morning I confess I am a sinner and I need a Savior. And I believe that Jesus is that Savior. I believe You died on a cross for me, took all my sins upon Him, and paid the price before God. And today I receive it. I repent of all I've done. I ask You to come into my life. Now give me the righteousness of God. Change me forever. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen today. Hey, give the Lord a good clap offering one more time. Give somebody a good hug before you leave today. Be sure to fill out your papers and put them on the stage. God bless you.